Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 116 for October 31st, 2007. This is a special edition with some of the highlights from Malt Advocate magazine's Whiskey Fest New York last night. More than 1,500 people were on hand for the 10th anniversary of Whiskey Fest at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Times Square, as editor and publisher John Hansel handed out the annual Malt Advocate Whiskey Awards. You'll find the complete list of winners, including his Best Buys of the Year, at John's blog. There's a link from the WhiskeyCast website. Just a few of the winners. Black Bottle Original was named the Best Buy of the Year among all whiskeys for its price-to-quality ratio. The new Crown Royal Cask No. 16 was named Canadian Whiskey of the Year. Old Forester Birthday Bourbon, the American Whiskey of the Year. Redbreast 12-year-old took top honors among Irish whiskeys, and Suntory's Yamazaki 18 Single Malt was named the World Whiskey of the Year. That's a new category, honoring whiskeys from outside North America, Scotland, and Ireland. In the Scotch categories, Chivas Regal 18 was honored as the best blblended Scotch, and the Macallan 1976 vintage was named Malt of the Year. As for the Distillery of the Year, here's John Hansel with the announcement.
For decades, this distillery was always the bridesmaid in larger whiskey companies' portfolios. There was just one whiskey expression, and not a particularly exciting one. Its potential was intact, out of fear it would steal market share from other whiskeys within the owner's portfolio. Not anymore. 3 years ago, this distillery was purchased by an independent company, which has allowed this distillery to spread its wings and fly by introducing new whiskeys and getting them into new markets. In these few short years, the company has introduced a dizzying array of whiskeys, all of them exciting, diverse, and well-crafted, under the watchful eyes of a new master blender, including a complete line of unpeated whiskeys, another line of heavily peated whiskeys, a line of whiskeys with a variety of wood finishes, followed by an array of older whiskeys dating up to 40 years old, and then a series of single cask-strength whiskeys. All this in just 3 years. There's a whiskey for just about everyone, regardless of your preferences, and all of them very good quality. Our Distillery of the Year for 2007 goes to Benriach.
Alistair Walker of Benriach accepted the award for his family.
All we knew was that John Hansel had let us know a few weeks ago we were on the shortlist. But, you know, given the competition for Distillery of the Year, I had no expectation at all that we were going to win anything.
What did you think when they announced it?
First of all, I was just wondering that I don't want to fall up the stairs when I go up to pick up the awards. Absolutely delighted. You know, America is a very important market for us, and we're a relatively young company, and it's difficult to try and develop a brand in such a big country, but it's important to do it, and this will be so beneficial to us to get the Benriach name known and to get people actually going into their local liquor store and taking the bottle off the shelf. It's going to be massive for Benriach.
And it's a validation of what you and your father and your family has been doing for the last several years.
Absolutely. In fact, it's funny you mentioned my father. He's actually out in South Africa at the moment for the kind of Whiskey Live events out there. And I had to phone him and wake him up, and he was absolutely delighted to receive the news.
What's the philosophy behind the whiskies you're making? Because you're producing so many of them in such a short time, and so many good ones.
I think there's a couple of the things. I mean, we've got to be very generous towards the people at Chivas Brothers, Seagram's, Pernod Ricard, that had Benriach for such a long time, because the quality of the whiskey that we bought with the distillery was very good. And, you know, if we didn't have access to such amazing stocks, we wouldn't be able to bring out the various styles that we've got there. I mean, Benriach was almost like an experimental distillery for Chivas Brothers. If they wanted to make a heavily peated Speyside, they did it at Benriach. If they wanted to do a triple distilled Speyside, which we've got a little of, they did it at Benriach. So we're kind of benefiting a lot from, you know, what these guys, what we inherited, if you like, with the distillery. But what we've done, we've obviously taken whiskey that was actually never intended to be made available as a single malt, and we're starting playing about with different cask formulas, investing heavily in a wood management program. And I think the other key thing is we're having a lot of fun doing what we're doing. You know, my father, he could have retired 3 years ago, but he entered into this because he's got passion and fun for the whiskey business, so he's doing what he enjoys, and hopefully that comes through in what we're trying to do at Benriach.
And you're going to continue the tradition?
Absolutely. Why would you not want to carry on doing this? There's no better job in the world.
What are you guys working on now? What can we expect new to come out?
Well, I've got to be honest, the last sort of 18 months have been pretty intense in terms of new product development. I think we probably won't do quite as much over the next year. There are some pretty interesting wood finishes like Sauterne and Moscatel that I've sampled as work in progress that are really good. As I say, there is some triple distilled Benriach that we haven't released yet that will come out when we think it's ready. And the other thing, you know, in addition to the core range, we're always looking out for single cask releases that either are very unusual or have displayed exceptional quality in production.
There were also two Lifetime Achievement Awards handed out, both to veteran distillers with more than 40 years of experience each. Jim Rutledge of Four Roses Bourbon and David Stewart, the malt master for William Grant & Sons.
It was a surprise. Yeah, I didn't actually know this actually happened, so it was a big surprise, and I'm obviously delighted and honoured to accept it. It's not just about me, it's about the whole team back in Scotland, but I'm delighted to accept it on behalf of our sort of company.
I'll have more with David Stewart on an upcoming episode, and if you'd like to hear my interview with Jim Rutledge from earlier this year, check the WhiskeyCast archives for episode 91 from last May. Jim was pleased with his award, but there is something that's making him even happier these days. Kentucky finally got some much-needed rain.
We tried to hold out. There was rain in the forecast, and we shut down, and the day after we shut down, we got rain. So we should have shut down earlier. But once we shut down, then we got grain back in. We loaded up on grain. We started up. We were down 3 days, and we started back up. But it's been we were, I think, fortunate to be able to go as long as we did with as little rain as we had this year in Kentucky.
How far down are you below where you normally would be?
Going into heavy rains we had last week, we were 16, 17 inches, but we had 8 to 10 inches of rain within a couple of days through most of Kentucky. So we're officially out of official drought conditions now because of just last week. And when we went down our water supply, we were 19 and a half inches below the top of the dam, and we were beginning to cavitate our pumps of withdrawing water. And within a day, we had so much rain in such a short time, we had a lot of runoff and into the rivers, the lakes, and we were back up coming over the dam again within a day, so we started back up.
Other bourbon makers say their water supplies were holding out, but they don't expect any problems now that fall is here. Whiskey Fest usually sees several new whiskeys making their debut in America. Cooley Distillery's Green Ore from Ireland has been available in Europe for a couple of years now. I have to admit that I've been bugging Jack Teeling of Cooley to make it available in the States for some time now.
It was actually redesigned and repackaged specifically for the U.S. market, and unfortunately changing importers delayed things a little bit, but we're very excited that it's finally getting into the States. In the meantime, it's actually flown in Europe. We got in around 10 different countries, and while we used to have a large allocation specifically for the U.S. market, we've unfortunately had to whittle it down to 300 cases for the whole of, let's say, the next 9 or 10 months. So if you see a bottle, definitely get your hands on it.
And what's special about the Green Ore? Now, it's a single grain whiskey. Right?
Well, 100% grain or maize or corn. So for Americans, very easy to understand, obviously, with the bourbon culture that's here. And it's matured for 8 years in single-use bourbon cask from Heaven Hill. So it's as close to an Irish bourbon as you're ever going to get.
There are also new versions of Tyrconnell as well, including a Portwood finished version. In the last episode, I mentioned Ian McLeod's plans for new travel retail versions of Glengoyne and its peated sister, Smokehead. Roderick McKenzie gives us an update.
And at the moment, we're looking to enter travel retail with a Smokehead Extra Rare, which is a liter packaging, different variation of the packaging, the same product, but an exclusive offer to travel retail. In addition to which, there's then an older version called Smokehead Extra Black, which again we hope to see entering travel retail in 2008.
And you've also got the new travel retail version of Glengoyne as well, the Burnfoot, right?
Yep, that's certainly in the production at the moment. And again, the idea being to have that moving into the market next year. There's not much I can tell you about that at the moment.
As I mentioned in the last episode, Burnfoot is the original name given to the Glengoyne Distillery back in 1833 by its founder, George Connell. The rye whiskey boom was also evident last night, as legendary Wild Turkey distiller Jimmy Russell showed off the new Russell's Reserve rye.
It's between a 6 and 7 year old rye. You know, rye is beginning to come back, making a big comeback. So we've always had a Wild Turkey rye, so now we're having the Russell's Reserve, a 6 year old rye whiskey that will hit the market in the next couple of weeks.
And how does it compare to the regular Wild Turkey rye?
Well, it's older, a little more flavors, a little more spice. I call it spicy. I like the flavors of it and all. It has a little more taste to it.
And this sort of adds a second dimension to the Russell's Reserve line, right?
This adds second dimension to the Russell's Reserve line.
Meanwhile, Heaven Hill is about to unleash a 23-year-old version of Rittenhouse rye on the market. Here's master distiller Parker Beam.
We didn't produce a lot of rye 23 years ago. So it's going to be very limited, but I think it's probably very unique. It's going to have the great taste that we like to see in our rice. It's going to be a pretty pricey item, but I think it'll be well worth the price.
How does it compare to the 21-year-old Rittenhouse?
Similar, but a little more wood, I think, and it's going to be somewhat similar, but yet it's going to be different. The extra 2 years when you get that far into the aging will probably make it to a lot of people's liking, I think.
Now, tell me about the Heritage Collection, because you've got to be really proud of this one.
Oh, yeah. It's the ultimate, far as I'm concerned, in the cast strength, versions of cast strength. We didn't have one, and it was a great opportunity for us to have a cast strength. And I was more than honored to be able to put my name on it. Because it's got the great finishes I like in my bourbons. It's got every characteristic I like. So hopefully everybody will agree with me, or most people will.
And this puts you in a really elite category, because the only other two living distillers with bourbons named after them are Mr. Lee and Mr. Russell.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, I'm in pretty unique group, I guess, that we're the only ones left in the group.
And this is going to become an annual event, right, releasing an annual different bourbon?
We'll come with another bourbon, and maybe we'll have a release 6 months later with a rye or something that we'll come with. That's sort of up in the air. We don't know exactly what we're going to release in the Parker's collection, but it could be two releases a year, see.
I had a chance to try Parker's namesake bourbon, and only one word does it justice. Wow. That was one of my top whiskeys of the evening, along with the Russell's Reserve Rye. Just a few of the others on my favorites list: the new George T. Stagg from Buffalo Trace, the 20-year-old Pappy Van Winkle bourbon, a rare Suntory Yamazaki bourbon cask from 1993, and a Benriach 20-year-old. On to other things now. If you're planning to attend Whiskey Live in Glasgow this weekend, Highland Park is offering a special Whiskey Amnesty program. The first 200 people to bring an unopened 70 cl bottle of whiskey will be able to trade it for a bottle of Highland Park. And the Maker's Mark crowd is descending on Las Vegas this weekend for the first Maker's Mark When in Rome weekend at Caesar's Palace. I talked with Bill Samuels Jr. the other day about the invasion.
We've never done anything like this before, and it's rather than have one more volunteer in the mix of making decisions, the only thing that I absolutely insisted on was that we do it in a way that expectations are exceeded. And that was my only ground rule. So I'm not really sure. I know we're having a couple of receptions. We're having one Thursday night for the folks that get in Friday. We're having one Friday night. And then Saturday night we're having the big toga party. And there's a lot of other stuff they haven't told me, because I guess they don't want my opinion, and I don't blame them. But I'll be getting there early, just in case they need somebody to haul stuff.
Have they already set you up with your toga yet?
Well, I hear that. This is the other thing. But I get roped into so much craziness because I encourage it. We hardly ever have an event or a party where I'm not trying to out-stupid myself. This will be no exception, trust me.
I'll have more with Bill and the gang from Las Vegas on the next episode of Whiskey Cast. In coming weeks, you'll also hear from Jimmy Bedford of Jack Daniels, John Hall of 40 Creek, Mike Miyamoto of Suntory, and David Stewart of William Grant & Sons, just to name a few. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. You'll find links, the calendar of events, and a complete archive of past episodes at the Whiskey Cast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.